Morning. I'm so happy to be back with you all. I've been away for a week, and it just feels like longer. That's what it's like when you're away from people that you actually like being with, right? When you're with them, time goes so fast, and when you're away from them, it goes too slowly. Last week, Matt spoke about God being love. And I really am glad that I get to follow right after that, because everything else after knowing that God is love makes things a little bit easier. Today, I know that we just had Valentine's Day on Thursday, and I felt like a little left out, so I wore my awesome red lipstick for you guys, and like just to extend like the feeling a little bit longer. And so, can I just share with you? Well, like I just imagined what all of you guys would have been doing during the weekend, and like as I was buying my like after Valentine's Day candy at Walgreens. So I'm just going to share with you. This is like just my imagination. So this is how I pictured how you guys would have spent that day. There would have been two of you getting ready for the evening. The more responsible one of you would have made the reservations. And you guys would have been gotten dressed and getting ready, and you went to your favorite restaurant, and you got there, and the waiter noticed that it was Valentine's Day and all these couples were coming in. So instead of seating you on the booth or the bar, they sit you across from each other so that you can look lovingly and gazingly into each other's faces, right? The mood is set, and the music is on, and you see all of these other couples around you, and your favorite food has come, and so you sit, and you look at each other's faces, and you say absolutely nothing. The silence the whole way through until you're done eating. Is that a picture that you would paint of how you celebrate Valentine's Day? Just silence, just dead silence? If it is, I'm worried for you. Because there would be some couples around you thinking like, man, did they just fight on the way here? And because they couldn't cancel the reservation, so they're eating in dead silence? See, we have been on a journey to experiencing God, right? And we've learned that we've been asking the question, what is God's will for my life? And we learned that that's the wrong way to ask that question. The right way to ask the question is, what is God's will? And how can I join him in the work that he's already doing? And in order for us to join him in his work, we first have to recognize when God is speaking to us, when he's revealing himself to us and instructing us. I want to put up our memory verse then, so that we see that God wants us to hear him. All right? Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. John 8:47. Yes. All right. Next slide. Okay. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. John 8:47. Yes. Next slide. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. John 8:47. All right, last one. Awesome. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Yes. Oh, good job, guys. Right. It's really important to remember the scripture passage, where you find it. Because if you get jumbled up with all of the doo-wops and who-to and you and belong, and you can go find it. So, last week, Matt taught us that God is love. Right? That he's not just loving, it's not something that he just does. That everything and anything that he does, he cannot help but act in that nature of his love. And I don't know about you, but even as from a human understanding, like that scenario I talked to you about just now, that story, even as a human, we know that in order for a loving relationship to develop, you need communication, right? And if that's the case between humans and us, and we don't really understand the fathom and the depth and the height and the immeasurable vastness of God's love, he is love, then how much more would he want to communicate with us, and vice versa? So it only makes sense that scripture is filled with God's expression of his love nature by his revelation to his people. It's a record of all of his love letters to us. During the Old Testament times, God spoke in many, many different ways. And I've listed some of them here. It's in the workbook if you ever want to go back and read and go through all of the passages. There's angels and visions and dreams and whispers and miraculous events. And this is just a short list of so many things that are recorded in the Bible, right? And Moses heard God speak through a burning bush. If you want to get technical, these kind of revelations of God, God speaking to man and showing himself before man, it's called a theophany. He's showing himself so that God, that people can understand that they're in the very presence of God. And he encountered God when he heard God speak through the burning bush. What we have to be careful is, then, is to not get caught up in how God communicates, how God spoke. It's not important that he used a burning bush. It could have been a Christmas tree, for all I care. Okay? The important thing is that he spoke to Moses. The book describes that it would have looked strange. They gave an example. Like if Moses had gone home and described his experience of God speaking to him through the burning bush, how weird and strange it would have been if the rest of his brothers and sisters or the rest of the village people said, oh, I'm going to go find my own burning bush. When I read that, like, that wouldn't have made sense. Like, it just seemed a little funny. But it makes sense. We do that all the time. Sometimes when we hear somebody else giving their testimony of how they have their own theophany, that God revealed himself to them, maybe through a dream, we have a tendency to try to decipher our dream that we had last night, right? I wonder what that meant. It's just Chinese food. Okay. It's not the method that we should be focusing on, but the fact that God spoke that should catch our breath. So we established that God will speak to his people because he loves us. He can't help but want to communicate with us. God spoke in many different ways during the Old Testament. And when God spoke, no matter the method he used, it was an encounter with God. But it's not important how he spoke. It's important that he spoke to us at all. I have a sister, and she has two daughters. I have two nieces, and one is 3, and the other one is only like 6, 7 months old. I'm a bad aunt. I'm sorry. So she's about like 6, 7 months old, and she's starting to coo and gurgle and make these like beautiful baby noises. But she doesn't really make noises where you could say like, that's a word. Like she's going like, bah, 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 like that. Because she's teething, right? But what my sister does is kind of funny. She'll like sit right across from the baby and go, that is so fascinating. Yes, tell me more. And then the baby will go, wah, 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 right? And then like make like sounds that it sounds like a conversation. And she'll be like, no way, that must have been really hard, right? And sometimes I feel like when we talk to God, that God's doing that with us too, right?
Amen.
The all-magnificent, all-powerful, all-sovereign God who knows all of time and infinity and beyond, and he's just God. And here's us telling him, rah, 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 rah. And then he goes, oh, that must have been hard. Right? He loves us that much. My sister's not dismissing the baby. Oh, you little child. You don't have the vocabulary that I do. God doesn't do that with us. He's acknowledging us and validating us by listening to us and wanting to have conversation with us. That is a miracle. That is the thing that, like, it blew my mind now that I think about it. Like, I have such a hard time trying to have a conversation with people who are, like, slightly smarter than me. Oh, you got me, like, you lost me, like, 10 minutes ago. I'm sorry. Like, can you repeat that? But God is willing to have a conversation with us and bring himself to a point where we can understand him? Wow. So if God wants to have a relationship with us and he speaks to us in a personal and unique way, how can we tell when God is speaking to us then? Sometimes it's really hard to recognize it, right? Is it Chinese food or is it really God speaking to me? It's easy when you have a burning bush. It's easy when you have a storm cloud over a mountain. It's easy when you have a pillar of fire right in front of you. But that's not common. Do you see that these days? Especially not in Hawaii. The people in Jesus' time also had the same difficulty that you and I have in trying to recognize when God is speaking to them. In chapter 8 of John, verse 43 to 47, it says this, "Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding on to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for his is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me?" And our memory verse, "He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." See, before I read the rest of the chapter and the chapter after, I made a little mistake when I read our memory verse because it came in this like handy-dandy card that you rip out in the back of the book. And so I memorized it, and what I did was I added a word in there without in my head without thinking. When I read the Bible verse, I said this, "He who belongs to God can hear what God says." the reason you cannot hear that you do not is because you do not belong to God. So I made it an ability. Like you, we can't do that. He's God. It's passive. We have no control over that. But when you read this passage, when Jesus says this, he's speaking to specific people, but who choose not to hear him. So if we put choose instead of can, it makes the verse mean a little bit different. Hear this. He who chooses to belong to God chooses to hear what God says. The reason you choose not to hear is that you do not choose to belong to God. See what I did there? It went from passive, something I can't help, to active. See, in chapter 8 of John, Jesus was speaking this specific passage to a bunch of Pharisees. Pharisees at the time were professional pastors. They committed their whole life into studying God's word, deciphering what it meant, upholding the law so that other people would not fall out of the commandments of God. And if there was anybody who should know what God is saying, they should have known. They should have recognized what God was saying. But he spoke of being sent by the Father to these people when he went to the temple. Jesus went to the temple, and then he was speaking to the people. And John writes in verse 27, they did not understand what he was telling them about. He was telling them about his Father. In verse 44, Jesus says, why is my language not clear to you? And calls them children of the devil. He's basically cussing them out. Jesus is not using soft words here. Because the devil spoke in a language of lies, deceit, and confusion. And the people who were listening to Jesus were so filled with this contempt for Jesus, this anger and pride and frustration that they couldn't hear what Jesus was telling them. They were speaking a completely different language. If you read that chapter, I really encourage you to. It's like two people. Have you ever watched that? Two people speaking at each other, but not to each other. Like, they're not really having a conversation. They're just like, blah, one way and blah, the other way. But they're not like really having a conversation. That's what's happening. Jesus is saying something and the Pharisees don't get it. The Pharisees were speaking a language that, because they lived with a heart full of lies and deceit. But Jesus said that he spoke a different language. He spoke a language of truth. Because God spoke that language, he can't help but speak that language. Because Jesus came from the Father. I was sent by the Father. If you see me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. So I can't help but speak my Father's language. No wonder you don't understand me. The people then, even in Jesus' time, right in front of his face, were so confused and so angry. Have you ever been that confused? That the more lost and confused you get angrier because you're so frustrated? I have. I don't like being confused. They call him a Samaritan and they accuse him of being demon-possessed. Because it was common around that time. Like there were people who were not well. And they said, he's just saying nonsense. I want to tell you about a story, okay? I had a coworker once who had moved from Scotland. And I'm terrible. I'm really sorry. I've done this to many people. I'm terrible with names. And so I'm going to call him Henry. So he's Henry today. And Henry, when he first came, he came from Edinburgh, Scotland, and he had just gotten married to an American girl, and so he moved to San Francisco with his new bride, and I was his direct supervisor. And so I was in charge of training Henry and getting his paperwork in order and getting him settled. And Henry was great. He had great work ethic. He was punctual. He fit in really well with his beard and his plaid, like hipsterville. And like he had this like persona, like personality, where he got along with everybody. Like he was really jolly. But there was like one problem, like one really big problem. Nobody understood a single word he was saying. And it wasn't because he wasn't speaking English. Like I knew he was speaking English because there were like some one word out of 10 that like, oh, I recognize that. That's English. His accent was so thick. The only way that I could get his paperwork done was by having his wife on the speakerphone, and she would translate everything that he would say back to me. It was really frustrating, but it all worked out. See, when John wrote this, it makes sense that if God has a specific, God says that his thoughts are different from ours. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So it makes sense that when he speaks with us, it would be difficult for us to understand and recognize what he's trying to say. You can see that when John wrote in the beginning of this letter, in chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And John chose the word in Greek to logos, right? And he specifically chose that word because the Greeks at the time, they had this kind of understanding that the whole universe was being controlled by this rational mind. I don't know if it had a body, but they had this concept. And the Jewish people at the time already had an understanding because of Genesis 1:1, which John 1:1 sounds very similar to. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And the Jews had this idea and understanding that when God expressed himself, it was creative. It had creative power. And by opening this letter with the description of Jesus that's so reminiscent of all of these ideas, John was trying to explain that Jesus is not this like pop icon, this weird fad phenomena that happened in Galilee. He's not the mayor of Capolet that only is like for 2 years and then like nobody will remember his name. Jesus, what John was trying to get at, had universal significance. And everything that he said would have eternal authority because he is God and was with God. So hearing Jesus was hearing God. When Jesus spoke, that was their encounter with God. So it only makes sense that they didn't understand what he was saying. We cannot understand Jesus. We don't come from God. There's nothing in us naturally that comes from God. Jesus understood everything that God was saying because Jesus came from God. That's what that word meant, belong to. Something that came from and went to. Jesus is God, speaking God language, the truth. Then why? Why can't we understand him then? Like, God loves us, doesn't he? Like, wouldn't he try to like make it work out? What's preventing us from understanding him and recognizing him when he speaks to us? In Romans 3:11-12, it says, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." In Romans, it says that we don't understand him because of our nature of sin. We have turned away from God, whether we believe it or not. That's the word that I was talking to you about earlier, choose. We actively choose to turn away from God. That's how we're born. Until we accept Jesus again. Until we believe in what he's done on the cross. Until we're transformed into a new creation. Until we get a new language. We will never understand what God is trying to say to us. But there's hope. Even though Jesus is no longer here and we're not like the disciples, there's hope. He promised that he would send another person who spoke that language of truth. He said that he would send the Spirit of truth. In John 16:13, it says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." The Holy Spirit to us is the one who reveals God's truth. Just as Jesus did for the disciples back then, and just as Moses encountered God through the burning bush, we encounter God when the Holy Spirit reveals his truth. We can have our theophany. We can have our encounter. We don't have to have a pillar of fire. We don't have to have our own personal burning bush at home. We have God's word. We have prayer. We have circumstances and the body of God, the church, to confirm that God speaks to us. Our memory verse today, again, says, "He who belongs to God hears what God says." Jesus belonged, came from God. If the Holy Spirit, who also belongs to God, we have a built-in speaker, translator that is able to recognize and detect whenever God is speaking to us and reveals it to us. Acts 2:38 says, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" The Holy Spirit, that universal translator, is a person, but is a gift only when we repent. Then the question is not, when can we know that God is speaking to us? We have established that God is speaking to us all the time, just like God is working all the time. We just have to recognize it. The Holy Spirit is the only way we can do that, because he's the only one that comes from God. Matt showed us this nifty sliding scale of knowing God and loving God and believing and trusting in God and then obeying God. Found it? Well, anyway, it's in your booklet if you want to look for it. But he mentioned that it's not something that you go in a linear fashion. Like, you don't go 1, 2, 3, and then it ends. It's different steps. Once you obey, then you really understand a different level of who God is. He reveals more of himself to you, and then you fall more in love with him, and then you trust him even in bigger things and in deeper matters than you could have ever thought or imagined that you could. And that can only happen through the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't do that by ourselves. It's impossible. Just like we can't recognize when God is speaking to us because we don't understand that language of truth. We started today's sermon with a picture of two people in a restaurant. If God was the other person in that restaurant, how do you picture that scenario? Are you trying to understand this alien language that God is speaking to you? That's so difficult. Sometimes I mistake and misthink that that's what is wrong. So I put the blame on God. God, it's your fault that I don't understand you. It's your fault that I don't hear you. But then now that I know this and I see this passage and I see what Jesus was trying to do over and over again, and he never loses his patience with the Pharisees. He never quits on them. Now I see a different picture. I see a picture of me sitting across God with my headphones on and scrolling. And then I blame him for not hearing him. Are you confused and angry and lost? Are you frustrated with him like the Pharisees were and the disciples even sometimes? God made a way. We're not supposed to be speaking a different language with God. He loves us too much to leave us that way. God always gives us himself. If you see a pattern, in the Old Testament, he gave himself in the form of different, like a bush or an angel, but he revealed himself to the Old Testament prophets and to the leaders. In the New Testament, he gave himself in the form of Jesus Christ. He died for us. And for us, he gives us the Holy Spirit, who will never leave us if we choose to accept him, if we choose to belong to him. I want Matt to come up, and I want all of us to pray at this time. I know that there's usually like a reflection song time, but I want to ask you right now, have you cried out to God, "I'm waiting to hear from you, God. You're the one who's not revealing yourself to me." I have. Quite honestly, I'm confessing to all of you, I have yelled at God in the car driving once before. I'm sorry, I was a car that almost drove you over because I was angry at God. I'm waiting for you to speak to me. I'm waiting. And you know what that is? It's just like, you know, when you see a child with a parent and the parent's trying to tell the child, like, we have plans, we have things to do throughout the day, but the child is just like, "I want to go here, I want to do this, and why won't you give this to me?" And just dominates the conversation. That's not communication. That's definitely not a loving communication. Have you been waiting for God and you feel like he's distant and he's silent? That's definitely happened to me before. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal himself to you, that will translate what God is doing around you, what translate what God's will is, so that you can join him, so that you can finally be a part of his work. We must first confess. We must first ask God for repentance and have the Holy Spirit in us before we even begin this conversation. Heavenly Father, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you desire to commune with us, that you want to have a conversation with us, that you want us to understand who you are and what your will is and what you're doing. You invite us. You don't need us. You want us to be a part of your work. God, I have this image, like, when we're trying to, when we were little, when we were trying to buy a gift for our parents, we didn't have money. And so what does the child do? The child goes to the parent, asks for money so that we can buy the parent the gift with the parent's money. And that's exactly what you do. We want to love you. We want to understand you. But the only way we can understand you is if you give us your Holy Spirit. We can't do anything for you unless you help us first, unless you give us your Holy Spirit, unless you reveal yourself to us. God, help us to seek after you. Help us to understand what you want, Lord, so that we may be transformed, so that we may fall in love with you, so that we may live a life filled with obedience, and that obedience turns to a testimony of your glory. In all these things, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.